testimonials from families, meaning your existing customers, that partnerships could also be up for collaborating, perhaps with the local riding schools where they're maybe doing, or instructors for special holiday packages, maybe training sessions.
Hey everybody, welcome back to this new episode of the Dealership Fix It podcast and what's going on with Sean from Hired Guns. We are back with a round three of my man Sean Raines here to talk more about the AI hackathon that we did and how we developed in the second episode of a full campaign revolving around a newly launched Harley-Davidson model. So Sean actually has a little bit of a surprise for us today. He built a little bit of a campaign for the holiday seasons for the Yamaha line. And so what we're going to show you today is just how Sean did that. He's going to show you. I'm going to ask him questions on how he did it. But how we built it in ChatGPT. We got some images. We've got some headlines, subject lines for emails, social posts. Basically a good starter package with a one-man team using tools to kind of get your dealership up and running with a campaign for the holiday season. So again, long intro. Good to see you again, Sean, and nice to have you on again.
Good to see you too, Jacob. Thanks for having me back. I hope people don't get fatigued with all this. What do you guys talk AI marketing and all those campaigns? Shout out to Brent Weiss, because man, his inspiration around doing the hackathon at Digital Dealer continues to pay off. So,
not so much a question. I'm really excited that we decided to go this route. And you know, we did have a bunch of feedback from our last episode where we did kind of go out to the base, and you know, a couple ideas came through, and this is ultimately what you came up with. So I'm excited, and I'll just make a point to maybe some of the dealerships that are listening to this that, you know, to your point, the younger we start these kids riding does make those long lasting memories. And so think of this as nothing more than just an investment for the future. Yeah, you may take a loss or a negative net deal on a little 50cc dirt bike or a little 90cc quad, but you're selling a volume of these, right? So you sell 10, you sell 15 or 20 of these in a month of December. Yeah, you may see some red on the doc there, on the doc report at the end of the month, and go, damn, I lost a couple thousand dollars. But these investments come back to you in threefold. You know, they're growing up, they're remembering that they got that shiny new CRF50, PW50, whatever brand that your preference is, under the Christmas tree, and their dad took them out, their mom got them all the greatest gear. And this is nothing more than just a feel good type of year to try to introduce this into the younger crowd that maybe doesn't have that experience with it. So I always looked at it that way. And I was always glad that we, as most companies do, put these on these promotional seasonal events to just, here's an out the door on this, or here's, you know, buy this and get this for a dollar. I mean, there's all sorts of creative ways that these dealers have done this. And I'm just really glad that we were able to show and tell this type of campaign to get a little bit outside the box, or maybe introduce it to a dealer that hasn't done it before.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I think it's kind of fresh ideas like this that are helpful. You know, I'm not telling power sports dealers how to run their business, but I am absolutely qualified to share ideas that might also then jog their thoughts and they're like, oh man, okay, I wouldn't want to do it exactly that way from a dollars and cents perspective, but I'll do it this way. Because honestly, if you just focus around like a $18.99, I think is MSRP or retail on a PW50 this year, that, you know, 10 grand and you're giving away five of them, 20 grand, you're giving away 10 of them for a dollar or whatever your campaign would be. A $20,000 marketing expense in most businesses, dealerships, is one where you could justify pretty easily. We're doing this cool freaking, you know, business development campaign as well, right? It's a marketing campaign for the holidays. You can bet your bottom dollar. But as you said, it is absolutely also thinking about the future of how you build your business. And for as much as we all love it when some 50-year-old comes in and for the first time he's like, you know what, I want to try riding a cruiser or whatever. That's great. Hopefully they went to motorcycle safety training courses and they, you know, really learned how to ride. But it's so sensible to think about building that long-term business with families, right? Yeah. That have kids. It's just to me, it's a no-brainer. And you and I've talked about this as well. I think it's also been a big miss. I think there have been attempts, but I don't think that any of the manufacturers should give up on focusing a lot of their brand around that. You know, it's great when you've got you or me already hooked and like, okay, I'm like, yeah, gonna get the new model probably. Yeah. It's a whole other thing when you're thinking about how do we get more people in, and the best people are really, you know, to get the youth involved. So that said, I'm going to share my screen for a minute here because I want to show you how ChatGPT responded and give you a bit of an outline of that so that you can kind of see what I'm saying. And then I'll switch back out of that and into the mode where I'm not sharing the screen. So let me share. So here's where I basically added that big prompt, right, to start this conversation. ChatGPT does its thing. And the first thing it comes up with is the theme of this campaign: rev up the holidays, share the thrill with generations. That's a pretty great start. If I didn't like that, I could have literally stopped there and said, hey, give me some different campaign themes. I want two or three more. And it would give them to me. But I, for the interest of time, so let's move through this process. The campaign tagline for this: gift the adventure, create lasting memories. That's pretty on target. I'm loving it. And then it goes into, okay, here's a series of social posts and promotional emails. And for those of you that are watching, you'll be able to see this. For those of you that only listen to the episode, the first thing that it starts to go into giving me details on are promotional social posts, right? So what are you going to do in your Facebook, your, you know, Instagram, wherever you're posting socially? And it says, post one, include an image of a family next to a Christmas tree with a Yamaha motorcycle and a PW50. Caption, quote, this Christmas, double the joy. With a icon of a Christmas tree and a motorcycle, hashtag Yamaha Christmas, hashtag family adventure. I'd say for right out of the box, post one, winning. But then it goes on to talk about post two and three. And let me pause right there, Jacob, and say, what do you think from what you're seeing and hearing so far?
I mean, it all has to do with the prompts. And I think that you rather than just kind of rapid firing some, you know, hey, let's build this. Oh, I don't like that. Redo it. Or change this part. I think what you actually did there, Sean, which we're not seeing right now, is you built the prompts with some thought behind it, mm-hmm. and then it unfolded, you know, or just kind of opened the layers of this onion to kind of give you all of these different examples and alternatives, right? I mean, it's all laid out the same way that you would expect a high level marketing director to give you almost kind of directional or pitch deck on and say, here's the campaign, here's the structure, here's the post, here's the timeline, here's the schedule, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is great. I mean, post one, post two, I'm reading them here. Post two, video of a parent teaching a child to ride the PW50 in a snowy backdrop with the caption that says, share your passion, teach them young. Snowflake emoji. And it looks like almost like a parent child emoji.
Yep.
Hashtag Yamaha family, hashtag holiday rides. I mean, these are very simple. Could somebody come up on those with that on their own and post it directly to the platform? Yeah, but this almost provides you with a structure to go, all right, week one, we'll do post one. Week two, we'll do post two. Week three, we'll do post three. And then by that time, the holiday promotion is almost over at that point.
Yeah. And you also have to consider, I'm noticing this more and more with my usage of AI. The better I prompt, in this case, ChatGPT, I know I've heard people that are concerned about this, like, well, yeah, but my agency with real humans, you know, they're going to be able to write things that, you know, this AI robot stuff isn't going to be able to write. And the reality is that most agencies out there, they don't understand, they're not an agency full of people that ride motorcycles or right. personal watercraft. Or so you are hiring people that are not particularly creative specific to the type of business that you're in. They're just a marketing agency. So they'll come up with some, you know, type of garbage. Hopefully they're smart enough to prompt ChatGPT to actually write copy, because this was written in a matter of minutes, a few minutes. And if you have an agency of people that don't know anything about a PW50 or really pick any brand, they just don't know power sports, they're going to spin their wheels coming up with these things, patting themselves on the back if they come up with anything as good as even these first couple that we've read. But it's going to take more time and it's really going to cost you more money. So for a dealership that also might be thinking, this is all interesting, but I don't know if I want to spend the time on this or whatever. Whether you would endeavor to take this in-house or contract somebody to do it, this is the kind of stuff, like, that comes, you come up with a, essentially, and this is more foofy marketing talk, but it's a brief on how to put a campaign together for this very, very purpose, right? It's a, it's an entire brief. And that is not, that's foreign to most power sports dealers. It's really foreign to most even car dealers, RV dealers, but it's done so quickly that you can get to execution so much faster that it's, that's an important point. And so one of the things that I wanted to fast forward to, because we'll come back to some of this and then I'll stop the share for just a second. But in post one, this is one of those kind of action items that I want people to be able to see. So for the viewing audience, this is going to have a bigger payoff, and I'll try to explain it for people that are not going to watch the YouTube version. But post one that says image of family next to Christmas tree with a Yamaha motorcycle and a small PW50, caption, this Christmas, double the joy, hashtag Yamaha Christmas. So I took the this Christmas, double the joy image of like what it says in post one. I took that copy and I went further down, because you just continue to prompt inside of this particular chat that I'm having with ChatGPT. And I said, create this image of family next to Christmas tree with a Yamaha motorcycle and a small PW50. And if you're looking at the screen right now, you'll see it did its best job to come up with a couple of Yamaha PW50s. But then I was like, I think it could do better. So I had it make a second version. And then it's like, okay, now it's a family that's now looking at the camera, Christmas tree in the back, and it looks like a motorcycle for mom or dad, and then a little PW50 in red, which I don't think that's available, but still you get the point. Then I said, you know what? I want you to make even a different version. So I did a third version of that picture. And for those, again, that are viewing, you can see that. And then I said, I'll even want a fourth version of that picture. So you can, one thing that you need to know, you can iterate on images within AI. And now you can do that in the paid version of, or the ChatGPT-4 version, because they rolled in the DALL-E or DALL-E. I don't know if it's DALL-E or DALL-E, but they rolled in
DALL-E. Yeah.
DALL-E. They rolled in the image generating component into ChatGPT-4, which you can do that inside of here. But if you want to get even more heavily involved, there are a lot of different tools out there that are image generating AI that you could go and make even more specific images. The point here is to let you know that all of this literally took me minutes. Building everything that we're talking about on this podcast today, other than thinking about all of it in my head and then starting this endeavor, I don't think that I spent more than an hour on all, maybe 90 minutes going back and forth with some of these things, but probably more like an hour. That's literally how fast you can create all this content. And so the next thing I want to do that's show and tell before we go back off of the share screen is the same thing can be done here, where ChatGPT tells me about, okay, here's the three promotional emails I asked for. Email one, introduction to the holiday offer with vibrant images of the motorcycles and ATVs. Subject, rev up your holidays with Yamaha, unbeatable deals inside. Email two, focus on safety and the joy of teaching kids to ride. Include a customer story. Subject is create memories that last, the gift of Yamaha adventure. Email three, a last minute reminder of the offer emphasizing the limited time deal. Subject, last chance to make their holidays unforgettable with Yamaha. Okay, so watch what I'm going to do here. I'm going to take this part of what it is doing, this is, which will be the third email, the last chance to make their holidays unforgettable with Yamaha. And I'm going to copy this piece, and I'm going to go down in here to continue prompting, or basically this dialogue. And I'm going to say, write an email based on this subject. I'm going to drop in what it already said, what it gave me, you know, an example of, this is the great subject line. And so now ChatGPT, if you're watching, you're watching it before your very eyes, write a subject. Last chance to make their holidays unforgettable with Yamaha. Dear recipient's name, as the holiday season reaches its peak, we at Yamaha are here to ensure your celebrations are truly unforgettable. Make this holiday unforgettable, exclusive offer. And it puts all the stuff that I wrote in the prompt. It's literally writing it in front of our face, and it took 20 seconds and now it's done. Why choose Yamaha? Hurry, this offer ends soon. Now, I will tell people that haven't gotten deep into this, you can then copy this content right out of ChatGPT, and you can take it and you can plain text, copy it into Word or wherever you want, or a Google Doc. And then you can change up what it says. So instead of, you know, hey, we here at Yamaha, it could be from, hey, at, you know, Jacob Berry's Super Yamaha store, whatever the name of your dealership is. So simple edits to customize and make sure that the iteration, it represents you and your brand, is super easy and super fast. It saves so much time, but look at how on point that content is.
That's beautiful. And one other point on that, just to piggyback on making it a little bit more specific, is that ChatGPT, I found, is really great when you tell it that you're satisfied with it or not, right? So you can do this almost in a minor prompting, to where it did give us the email, right, based on the subject line of that promotion there. But what we can also do is say, hey, you know, I want you to include some other promotions for my parts and accessories. Let, you know, write in this email that I also sell other brands like Honda or Suzuki, and make sure to include my dealership name once or twice within this email, and make it a signature from the owner, and wish them happy holidays, right? So there's a lot of editing that you can do within the results that it has given you within ChatGPT to almost kind of build on this dynamic that it's given you already.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
It's amazing.
And here's, I'm going to do this one too, because it also in this campaign says, oh, here's the graphics that would be used. Where is it at? Graphics, KMS, graphics for promotion. Family enjoying a ride through a snowy landscape on Yamaha ATVs. Okay, great. So I'm going to say create this image, and I'm going to drop in exactly what it says. Let's create that image. And now what it's going to do is it's going to use the DALL-E image generation AI, and it's going to create an image. And you'll see just in the time that we're doing the episode, this is all live, so we're not going to speed this up unless the editing team decides to speed this up. But from creating this image, which is going to show us the first iteration right now, boom, there you have it. There's the family on ATVs in the snow. Well, that's pretty solid. Like, that's pretty cool. Now, I know people will want even more specifics. That's why I said before, is you can go beyond just ChatGPT now that DALL-E is in here, and you can do image generation, and you can even take these images into things like Midjourney or Firefly or others and iterate until your heart's desire. The point is again, how fast, speed, and sometimes it's important to remember that you shouldn't let perfect be the enemy of good enough. And you hit this little circle down here, and it'll create you a second version of exactly what we already asked for, which is create us an image of a family enjoying a ride through a snowy landscape on Yamaha ATVs. And within seconds, it's going to create a second version. And you can create multiples. I'll usually create three or four of what I'm looking for. And by the way, I do that even when I'm in other AI generation tools like Midjourney. I typically don't just select one. I'll do iterations on both. This is a feature inside of ChatGPT where if you ask it to do another version of the same, it'll say, hey, was this response better or worse? And you could give it a better or worse, click on it, or you can just close it. But that's how much intel is being kind of built into all of these tools to make it super, super
easy. If you're a motorcycle and power sports dealer, you already know the biggest marketplace websites are clunky, slow, and riddled with ads. Even if you pay big bucks to list your inventory, your competitors can pay even more to outrank you. That's why we created MotoHunt. Our site is famously streamlined and quick, with no extra nonsense to confuse buyers or dealers. That's why we rank so high in search results without having to spend millions in advertising. Why pay three times as much? At MotoHunt, one low price covers everything a dealer needs to get their inventory listed and collecting leads fast, with no multi-level pricing tiers and no way for your competition to out-premium you. No matter how many listings or leads you generate, your subscription price is the same. Click the link to find out how MotoHunt can help you start generating more leads today.
One thing on the images there that I'll kind of notate, which, you know, I'm sure some dealers seen that, they would go, you know,
yeah,
with the motorcycles under the tree, obviously they didn't look like a PW50. So what I'm curious about is, you know, could you save that image or say, hey, redo this image, but remove the motorcycle, so you're just left with a family in front of the Christmas tree, and then maybe almost take that and take that into Photoshop and then superimpose a PW50, a 2023, an actual real bike, a photo of a real bike onto the top of that. I mean, that's something that you can do as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
100%. Like all day long, twice on Sunday. And sometimes people will take images that they already have and they will use that as a reference image in some of the AI tools. Some of them are better than others. But they'll use that as a reference. I haven't tried it in ChatGPT-4 yet, but you know what? Let's do it just actually while we're on here. Let's just go see what happens. It's going to be a super disaster or it's going to be super fun. So here's what I just did, just so everyone can get on an episode where you're like, let's just go and find some stuff. So I'm just going to take this PW50 picture right out of the old magical internet, and I'm going to go here. Within ChatGPT, Jacob, you can see my screen again. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So I'm going to go here and I'm going to go find that little picture of that PW50 somewhere on maybe my desktop. There it is. PW50. Everyone's going to be screenshotting that to be like, what's on Sean's computer? nothing good, losers. And then I'm going to say, make an identical version of this motorcycle. I can't type today. Cycle in the snow. And we'll see what it does. There is the PW50 that's been uploaded for them, and it's creating some sort of image. And you're right, Jacob. So there's a lot of this that happens. Actually, you see the image up here. Sometimes a close-up shot is maybe that'll be good enough. But I understand when the dealers are going to be like, well, hey, how are you going to get two dudes on that, right? right here. Like, what? That's some kind of weird-looking quad. But then it's like, well, maybe it's for the picture.
This happens for the picture.
Yeah. This happens in all kinds of image-creating AI. So does that look like an identical? No.
No,
that looks like if Yamaha wanted to make their version of the monkey.
Yeah, the Honda exactly monkey. What it looks like. Yeah.
old
bubble tank.
Yeah. Somebody at Yamaha should actually grab that and mass produce it, because I think the monkey did pretty good, didn't it?
The monkey, the Grom. Yeah. The Navi. Yeah. They sold a ton of them.
So I won't, and I'll have it spin up a couple other versions. We won't spend a lot of time on this, but that is how you would basically go about trying to get there. But you're also right, Jacob. If you already have good stock photography, and most dealers are going to have oodles of it, you can take that and Photoshop in or do some of the, it's getting worse.
Yeah. We've gone back to the 1980s here.
Yeah. Right. What are we doing here? That's like, and there's somebody out there maybe that are saying, oh, I love that bike. It's super cool. Look at the fork boots. I'm like, oh, man, come on, 85. Like,
so clearly there are some things that require a human intervention to do, right? And as we've stated it on round one and round two of using ChatGPT of this episode between us, you know, you can't just shove everything in a ChatGPT and expect it to deliver back perfect results, right? You can get a good framework to it. You can get a good background. I think it did a great job at the stuff with, you know, putting people in the picture and the living room with the Christmas tree and the presents, but we need to have a superimposed realistic motorcycle in there for what we're actually trying to sell, right?
Absolutely. So
I don't think any of that's bad. It's just, oh, okay, cool. I've got it like 90% there. Oh, look at that one. An ATV wrapped in a bow. It even has a title on it. That looks like a Lexus ad, you know.
Big but surprises come in small packages. Unwrap adventure this holiday.
I love that. My point to that is that, for everybody listening, is that think of ChatGPT will get you, you know, a third of the way there, right? It's up to you to take what it gives you out of it, craft it into your own voice, give it a few more prompts to kind of get it a little bit more down the road. And then you might have to intervene into some of these tools working within each other to make the final product that you do want to launch when that time comes.
Correct. Yep. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And you know, you'll find that I think it's human nature. We sometimes just get caught up on trivial details because we don't want to force ourselves to have to know more than we maybe want to know. Mm-hmm. But always try to think of these things because, you know, I'm sure you're doing a lot of this these days as well, Jacob, but I'm trying to also help dealers maybe dispel fear or worry about, oh, like AI. And I get, it's kind of a mixture. Like some of them are like, I'm not worried about it at all. I have like, whatever. It's like, so the reality is that sometimes when we get caught up on the little trivial things, it's oftentimes to mask the fact that we don't want to have to deal with something that's brand new. And so I'm telling dealers a lot, like, don't think of the AI side of like, well, when they're going to rule the planet or whatever, that might, who knows, maybe that'll happen someday. But in the context of how AI can be utilized for your business, it's another tool set, and it's probably a frustrating one for a lot of people that don't really have any business having to be too deeply involved in the advertising and the marketing side of the business. But I say this all the time, the more you know as a business owner, as a dealer, the more you know about it, the more you protect yourself against the fraudsters, right? Against all the people who would take advantage of ignorance, not willful ignorance, not that you're like dealers are sitting around like, I just want to be ignorant of all this AI stuff. It's just, we all have a lot going on. This podcast though, and this example is hopefully helpful to encourage more of that understanding so that you aren't taken advantage of, but that you're also not fearful of this part of AI, because ultimately you want really capable, smart people who are staying on top of this to know how it works, because they're going to be the ones that become, you know, part of your trust network and part of the people that you rely on. But the more you know about it yourself, even if you're not going to do it yourself, but the more you know, that's why they say knowledge is power. In this case, that's the power to protect yourself against getting ripped off or people selling you something that you don't need. And when it's all said and done, the prompt of AI to create something like this, the best version of that, the best detail that goes into that prompt is coming from you, the dealer, right? You're the dealer, right? I only knew how to prompt enough of that because I've talked to you. I've been in lots of power sports dealerships and have friends that have power sports dealerships. And I've been on a ATC 70/Z50 since I was a little kid. The more people like that, that you have in your ecosystem, like your trust network, the more it should encourage you not to be worried about this stuff, but also kind of get excited because it'll accelerate your ability to execute things that right now, I won't be surprised if somebody watches this episode and they're like, damn, I wish we would have known or been able to get something going, or could we get something going even before it's too late? And if you can't this year, hey, well, then you know you got something to think about for next year. But don't be afraid of it. It's in the hands of the right people. It will absolutely be a benefit to your business.
For sure. And no better time to get started than now, right?
Yeah.
I talked about this on the last podcast, but I'll say it again. I mean, how many years did it take some of these dealers to hire or create a new position for a social media manager when one didn't exist, you know, 5-10 years ago? Or even a videographer or content creator for your dealership. I mean, that's a pretty common role now in a lot of these dealerships that we talk to. But 5 years ago, yeah, I just the internet person or the sales guys would do their own posting on what's that new thing called? Oh, Facebook, Instagram. Do we have one of those? Let me build one for my dealership, right? And we'll throw some pictures on there of customers buying their bikes. Nowadays, there's full strategies and, you know, people making six figures on that position at many of these dealerships, right? So this is just one thing to not necessarily have to do or be an expert at, but as an operator or business owner in these dealerships, just know what it is and maybe a little bit on how it works, or listen to some value, you know, driven podcasts like this that say, here's some of the capabilities of it, even though you have somebody else on your trust team, as you put it, to do this work for you or the dealership, right? So it's a good thing overall.
Absolutely. If you're fortunate enough to have resources internal, you know, that are working on some of those things, then, you know, God bless it. That's awesome. Those are the type of people that literally, as they would watch or consume content like this, specifically this episode, would probably already be thinking, you know what? I'm not going to use any AI images whatsoever. We have PW50s sitting here in the showroom. We've got a Grizzly 90. We're going to go push them in front of the giant Christmas tree that we put in here every year. We're going to take some real pictures of those products. And then even, hey, we know somebody that wouldn't mind if their kid, if you don't want your kid's face on pictures, some people are, you know, concerned with that, then put a helmet and set of goggles on them and outfit them and put them on that little bike. And now take real pictures of real little humans right there in your dealership. And if you got a mom and dad or even employees of the dealership that want to stand in and be the family, you just solve the problem with real photography and real product and real, you know, it's just like that. And I think there are people that if you're lucky enough to have that internal on your team, that they would already be thinking that. Then it's just, do you want to get into, again, the nitpicky stuff? Well, what kind of camera are you using and how high quality can you get those pictures? Would we want to outsource to somebody that we know that's a great photographer and just do a session and spend $500 on getting a series of amazing high quality photos? It just opens you up to think about other things that you wouldn't have been able to think about before. And so if you have somebody internal, great. If you don't, people like Jacob, he's probably the first person, if I were a power sports dealer, that I would call, I would connect with and say, hey, I'm thinking about some of these things. How, what would you recommend? You know, definitely no reason to be concerned about all of it. It's only going to continue to expand. So getting in front of it soon is important. And one of the things that I actually really like about how all of the AI continues to expand for business usage is you don't have to shed a lot of blood. You know, that bleeding edge, I talk about it all the time, of the bell curve. There are people, especially in the automotive dealer world, there's always a handful of them that are like, I want to be at the front of everything. Like, I want to be at the front. And they're typically, you know, dealers or groups that have deep pockets, right? They're very profitable. And so they have money to explore with and they'll do it. This right now is, if you're smart and you know just a couple people that have already been, you know, kind of plodding through this AI forest, and you can talk with a few people like you and I have riffed about it because we've both been playing around with AI for quite some time now, you end up with being able to be very, very close to the front without having to, you know, be on the bleeding. You don't have to shed a lot of blood to be kind of on the bleeding edge, right? It's more like a small scratch. And I think that's important for dealers to know, because I know just from my own friends in the industry that, you know, going 25 plus years into all of this, the very beginning of the internet was, it's a joke. It's a fad. It's a, come on. Have you tried to upload one picture of your inventory and it takes 6 hours? There were so many things that made it seem like this is ridiculous. Like it's going to be the next big thing, because no one, and even the people that tried to predict, oh, we know exactly how it's going to affect the car business. I think the only thing that could have been predicted is if consumers trusted it enough as a communication resource to be able to say, hey, I'm interested in this and I don't want to deal with you because you're typically not very nice once I'm on your playground. That was kind of the beginning of seeing that, at least for the car business, power sports, RV, realizing that the customer gets now control over something that they never had control over before, right? And then it just becomes a game of how do we make sure that we are, you know, taking care of that customer, protecting our interests, being involved. And I think way too many, this is more car dealers, but I'm sure it's power sports and all of them, marine and RV, they're all those adjacent industries that I think to the same extent, or maybe even greater extent, were like, I don't want to, I'm not going to get, that's not what we do. We're not going to, like, I know we're going to have a website, right? But it's almost like you're perturbed that like, oh, this, we have to have this dumb website. And now we have to figure out how do we get our inventory onto it? But yeah. Jacob, you're one of the people who's an expert in this area of realizing that this is the lifeline to doing business in the internet age. And it doesn't stop there. It's also, I mean, you've done a lot of things, even with, you know, merchandising your inventory out into places like Craigslist, right? There's just so many things to be in consideration of. So if you're one of those dealers that are like, there are resources that'll be helpful, but it's also the barrier to entry to increase your knowledge level to one where it just makes your relationships with vendors better and also protects you from being taken advantage of. So, you know, how to ask some of the right questions. Don't be intimidated by it. Don't, like, no reason for that. And if you are, and you're still like, right. No dealer in a 20 group wants to raise their hand when someone says, hey, tell the class the difference between SEO and SEM. I used to make that joke all the time, especially years ago. Nowadays, you might get a dealer that would say yes. But usually in all things digital, dealers have had so much thrust upon them so quickly that you can't keep up with a working knowledge of the technology. So the technology advancement's moving faster than our ability to know what the frick to do with it almost all the time. That's very much the case of the last 20, 30 years. So I always try to tell dealers, if that, you know, is a mountain you're going to have a hard time climbing, then at least identify who your trust network is, even if it starts with just one person that does know this stuff, that will be a bit of a whisperer or a Sherpa or whatever you want to call them, but you trust them, then have those people in your bullpen. They don't have to be employees. They could just be people that you know, and you're like, hey, does this wash? Like, you know, and I've opened myself up to that with dealers, which I now have lots of friendships just based on that. And I think that's really, really critical, so that you have things that are tangible in helping your business through just relationships of people that will help you navigate some of the stuff that it could be a challenge. So hopefully that's helpful. I'm trying to be encouraging to the dealers.
For sure. I think you're doing a great job at it, and just trying to dispel some of this maybe agita about how do I get started? You know, maybe I'm not that great at typing or you know, using some of these software programs, but just start playing with it and, you know, give it minimal amounts of, you know, input to say, hey, I'm just trying this out. And it will respond to you like almost like a toddler will. Think of it like the world's smartest toddler. It has to wait for you to talk to it, and it won't respond until you do. But when you start asking it questions, it'll give you some kind of response that's halfway intelligent. And depending on how smart you give it that reverb, that echo to say, well, I want this and I want this and I want this, it'll start getting smarter and build that thread along with it to say, well, we've had a conversation now for weeks or months on the same thread. I now know a little bit more about this person for when the next question is asked, I'm going to give a better response because I just know that much more information. Yeah. One little tip too, and I don't think we talked about on this episode, is you can ask ChatGPT to ask you questions, mm-hmm. right? And maybe we've done that, maybe we haven't, but just to kind of reiterate that is that, you know, if you say, hey, ChatGPT, I've got this holiday program. I sell Yamaha, Honda, and, you know, KTM dirt bikes. I really want to focus on the kids. ChatGPT, ask me as many questions, or you can limit it to 5 or 10, however you want. Ask me questions about my business or who I am as this power sports dealer to make you better give me an example of what to do with this program or this marketing strategy that I want, right? And it will ask you things about what your focuses are, your call to actions, your value propositions, financing offers. I mean, it's incredible about how much it knows how to ask you those types of questions. And as much as you give it, it will feed right back into that customized prompt back, right?
Yeah, that's a great, great point to share. I remember the first time it was, you know, when you, I don't know how many times a year you do this. I do it at least once or twice, where you're going to send an email that's supposed to have an attachment and you forget the attachment. And then people are like, where's the attachment? Right. And like, ah. So similar to that, when you're in ChatGPT, if you're prompting ChatGPT for something and then you leave out really the most significant piece, it'll start asking you questions right then and there. Well, could you tell me more about this, Jacob Berry, that you would like me to start writing a job resume or, you know, a resume for? It will start to do that. So you're 100% right. Instead of it just being a, you know, a human error thing, and then it starts to ask you questions, you can go on the, you know, the offense, if you will, or strategically intentional of asking it to gain as much information through questions as it possibly can. One of the things that I wanted to share that I'll just read to the audience in the last portion of what ChatGPT came up with in this campaign, I think is really important. And that is, it gave us key campaign messages. You don't have to be viewing to get the impact of all these. The key campaign messages emphasize safety and responsibility in riding, highlight the joy of sharing a passion for motorcycles and ATVs across generations, focus on the affordability and value of the holiday offer. Those are the three key campaign messages. Then it also had the recommendations for promotional mechanics, something that probably those two words have not been put together in most dealers. What are the promotional mechanics? Those would be details of the offer clearly mentioned in every post and email. Testimonials from families, meaning your existing customers who have previously bought Yamaha bikes for their children. And the final one here in promotional mechanics is call to action in each promotional piece directing to Yamaha, or to your dealership or your website for more information. And then just a few more things. Additional campaign elements that it recommended, which I thought were really strong, a social media contest called Share Your Yamaha Holiday Story, where your customers post their holiday moments with their Yamaha bikes for a chance to win accessories, helmets, you know, a discount on future purchases, whatever. Super smart. It also encouraged the dealerships that would do a campaign like this to have some in-store displays created so you could pop them up, having visually appealing displays in dealerships showcasing this holiday offer. It also mentioned that partnerships could also be up for collaborating, perhaps with the local riding schools where they're maybe doing, or instructors for special holiday packages, maybe training sessions. And then the last couple of things, post-campaign analysis. So that you track the engagement and the conversion rates from these social posts, gathering the customer feedback and stories for future marketing materials. And then the last piece was compliance and legal considerations. So you're going to want to ensure that these promotional materials are adhering to legal standards and regulations, including any safety disclaimers where they're appropriate. And I thought all of that was really key to share before we, you know, get close to concluding the episode, because those are some of the details for the people that are very detail oriented that they'd want to know, well, is there more? And it literally finishes off with making sure that, hey, you know, there are compliance and legal regulations and focusing on safety and all of those things. Because as much as there's a lot of dads out there and some moms too, who are like, man, just hit the throttle, let's go. There's also a lot of parents who are very safety conscious and they want to make sure that those boxes are checked as well. And ChatGPT, without me asking it to highlight things like that, included that at the end of kind of what it recommended and really what amounted to be a pretty solid marketing brief for a campaign like this.
Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by MotoHunt Premium. MotoHunt Premium empowers power sports dealers with data and technology to give the best possible market advantage on every vehicle at your dealership. MotoHunt Premium offers a suite of features such as real-time market analysis, inventory management, and up-to-date pricing guides like JD Power and NPA. Dealers love to leverage the platform to identify potential inventory risks and potential issues with your online listings. And it also helps to execute make and model strategies, enabling dealers to help move inventory faster and make more profit. To start leveraging our technology at your dealership, go to MotoHuntPremium.com. That's MotoHuntPremium.com to learn more and request a free inventory audit for your dealership today. I'm glad you brought that up, because most operators, this is in the back of their mind, right? They're thinking, oh, well, I for a kid's ATV, I have to make sure that the disclaimer is on there for age requirements. And Yamaha, if I want to make it compliant to their factory program, I have to say, you must wear a helmet, you know? And so all these little things that maybe you're thinking of the grand vision of how do I sell more product, in the back of your mind, maybe some of these are lost to you, to say, oh, well, I also need to include all these little disclaimers and these little things that you just went over that ChatGPT outlines for you, almost as like a checklist is what it sounds like.
You could literally take a lot of what it wrote in the bottom section of this and have it expand on that. You could literally just continue to prompt within this giant prompt and get more detail out of all of that. And you could literally say, like, well, let's create a checklist, and you could continue to iterate and refine that checklist until it's exactly what you wanted. Those are important to details for sure. You know, it'll be interesting. You know, we covet your feedback for people that consume the episode, especially from the dealer world. Like, you know, does this feel like, sound like something that, oh, we could pull that off, or what are your ideas? Because ultimately, I think there will be more collaboration, and I don't think. Well, I don't have to think. I know that power sports dealers have not been through, nor is there anyone offering to them something like the hackathon that you and I, you know, participated with that Brent put together for Digital Dealer. I'm not a big fan. In fact, I'm not a fan at all, even though I know you've done this and did it a lot. I'm not a fan of telling power sports dealers and RV dealers to go to automotive events. I know a lot of them do it because they feel like they're going to get more information and more knowledge. And are there people that represent the automotive industry that are further down the path and have more miles on the road in a lot of these areas than in the power sports, RV, and marine worlds? Yes, there are a lot more of them, but it doesn't mean that they're exactly the right people for your business, and that the value comes back, because you could literally stumble across this podcast and this could be 100 times more valuable to you for free than going to some stupid event in an industry that you think is better than you, right? Sometimes it's just finding all the great places where there's a natural spring and you go get that water out of the ground. And if you want to tell other people about it, go right ahead. But it's always that mission of where do you find the best stuff? And it's often not at those big events. Sometimes it is, but not always.
I agree with you. I don't know how much your expenses were at the last automotive event we were, but it cost a lot to get there. It was in Vegas and I had to fly and stay at one of the strip hotels because that's where the convention was at. And yeah, I did get some wealth out of it, but I can very much see what you mean by, you know, somebody going to that and all they're doing is they're hearing the same things that maybe they already know or nothing really fits within their power sports mold. So I'm glad that you brought that up. Shameless promotion here. The Dealership Fix It podcast has always been and will continue to be a value to power sports dealers because this is one of, if not the only one in our industry, our power sports vertical, that talks about all the different dynamics about issues and solving those issues at the power sports dealer level. In all functions, not just sales or service or parts, but now, you know, we've gone over three episodes now of just using AI in the term of a marketing and maybe some of the other expansions that you could use AI. So I'm glad that you said that because if you're listening to this now and you're finding value out of it, like Sean said, give us some feedback on some of that stuff. We would love to read it live over one of these episodes and address some of these specific changes. You know, we can open up the phone lines, as they say, and take live requests, but also share, you know, and forward this to someone who might see some value out of it. I've had many people reach out that, hey, somebody shared this or I caught this episode piece. What did that mean? Or what were you talking about on that? Or, hey, I heard this, but I didn't quite understand. Can we go into depth on that subject? And guys like Sean and I, we do this because we enjoy it. You know, we're literally not making a dime off of us spending an hour producing this content to go out into the worldwide web here, but we do it because we want to disseminate this information for the people who don't know, or maybe the people who don't have these resources that aren't privy to some of this knowledge or some of this experience that Sean, you and I both share, right?
Absolutely. And it's so important on so many levels that it's, you know, it's not easy to check every single box in one episode about one thing. In this case, this, you know, holiday inspired, get the kids riding kind of campaign. But just this episode, things that I was not thinking about ahead of time come up during this conversation that as we're thinking them and then saying them and exchanging dialogue about them, I know that dealers will be like, that's valuable. I know a dealer will write down a note or that'll trigger a, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
You can just feel that. And one of the things that I almost forgot to mention is I just did it again while we were recording the episode. I looked at a search for a Yamaha PW50 and a Yamaha Grizzly 90. And I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth market. And not a single person is running, at least on the Yamaha PW50. There are no paid ads, right? I know, you know, dealers, power sports dealers have probably varying opinions on paid search, whether they should be or not. But if there were any time of year that I would be, especially if I was thinking about doing campaigns like this, that I would be trying to put a little bit of spend behind PW50s and Grizzly 90s and all that, man, this is the time of year I'd be doing it. And nobody in DFW, I'm looking at it right now, PW50. Nope, nothing.
It's all factory or organic stuff that's coming up.
Yeah. There isn't even a single factory sponsored ad. It's just all organic. It takes you to the model page on Yamaha's corporate site, on the Yamaha Motorsports website, to the PW50 page. I'm surprised by that. It shouldn't be that way. And I know, you know, dealers sometimes have their own opinions about, well, that doesn't work. But if you take what most agencies would tell you you should do and completely throw it out the window and do something like we talked about on this podcast episode, it will not only give you a really smart campaign to roll with, but the absence of not a single paid search ad on a PW50 right now, as we're recording this, well, if you had a campaign going like the one we talked about today, you would already be able to go and ask ChatGPT, would you also write me some ad copy for Google Ads? Would you write me some ad copy for some display ads for Google? And it would write copy better than your agency, very likely. If you didn't like it, you could massage it a little bit. But it just goes on and on and on from there, right? It's a total win all the way around. And it could save you a ton of money and put you into a place where you're really starting to build wealth, growth, and profit over time. Although this is built to be a loss leader, but that pays off over time. So in the long run, it is not a loss. I'd be interested to know if people that tune in for the episode, what they think would be, well, what's better? What would work better? Like, what traditional thing have you done that would be like, oh, this is better than this? Because I don't see that out in the market. I haven't seen something like this.
I'll tell you what the traditional way of doing it is. They have their graphic designer, if they have one, or it's just a program that somebody at the dealership is using. They'll take a studio stock image, apply it over a graphic that has a whole bunch of Christmas trees and flair and colors with big price tags out the door. We also have these helmets. We also have this 10 days only, super sale extended, whatever it is, right? And then they email that out to their entire email base. They post it on social once every week, the same stuff. And that's kind of it, right? They might have a landing page built on their website that has just one huge graphic flyer, no words, no context. And it's just like, if you build it, they will come kind of mentality, right? I spent my time on the graphic and a little bit of time trying to execute the deployment of it. And then I'm just going to sit back and wait for people to come in and buy all my bikes. When really we know that the competitiveness out there is not getting any easier in terms of trying to find eyeballs for this content or for this messaging. Mm-hmm. And, again, just to beat that dead horse just a little bit further, tools like ChatGPT can take your existing thoughts or your existing strategy that you've been employing for many, many years and make it just a little bit better or extend it just a little bit further, into some other areas that maybe you weren't even thinking of, or that maybe you wanted to try but weren't sure how, right? So yeah. I'm glad that we did this episode. Let's do one quick recap of the full campaign, because maybe there were a couple that we didn't hit on already, but with ChatGPT 4, the paid version that includes DALL-E, the image creator, mm-hmm. we wrote a good prompt. We wanted to focus on Yamaha, but really you can do this with any OEM. Honda CR50s are probably the big seller. I know SSR Motorsports is the new Chinese brand that dealers are buying a ton of, inexpensive, I'll say, dirt bikes for Christmas time. Mm-hmm. We got a good creative back with a plan that included a little bit of artwork that we asked DALL-E to make, family in front of the Christmas tree, riding some ATVs in the snow. We've got a full idea list for some emails listed out into three different campaigns, right? With different messaging. We could take that subject line back into ChatGPT and say, hey, write me a full email on this. We can personalize that a little bit to your heart's extent. We got social posts, and we've got what else? Some holiday, tips. And the tips were also to consider, testimonials from customers, call to action, referring back to the dealership for more info, some social media contests, some in-store POP displays, some partnerships with some other entities, or maybe even a riding school. It even reminds you, hey, there's some compliance and, promotional disclaimers that you have to include in there, as well as a post campaign analysis to make sure that you're tracking all your results. So, that is a six-figure marketing director right there for your dealership that we just got done in, less than an hour's worth of podcast here. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe, what will happen is all the dealers will say, you know what, Jacob and Sean, you guys just need to have a little side gig and build out some packages to help dealers that want to sign up for it. I'm sure there are some capable people out there for power sports, but that was a very, very strong summary. And that's exactly what we talked through. And we spent more time talking about it than I spent, building all this content, and literally to be able to flush out the whole thing. you could have your marching orders and what you need to execute on in one day's work with one person. And then identify the people, if you don't have them in-house, to create certain assets, like, you know, your in-store display type of stuff, whoever you use for that. But in less than a day's work, one person could architect this, delegate all the stuff, manage the timelines to execute, you know, when you're going to actually pull the trigger on all of it, and boom, you're off and running. And we didn't talk about this too heavily, but just, it was mentioned briefly, but it's also important when you do something like this to make sure that you have the ability to capture results, right?
Yeah.
And knowing what's going on. And that's going to happen from a lot of different entities with a campaign like that. It's not just going to be a Google Analytics thing, although it could be partially a Google Analytics, but it's also going to be paying attention to what's coming from all of the places where this content goes. So that could be within email campaigns, obviously. And I totally understand the whole side of, you're going to UTM string all of this content so that it tells you the truth once it gets into analytics. But there's also a lot of value to what would happen with content like this within just the native YouTube insights, LinkedIn insights, and so on and so on, Facebook, stuff like that.
It's an amazing time we're living in right now with all these available tools. It's a one-man army almost.
It is. One person can do a lot with the tools that are available to them today. And I'm still astonished that there aren't more people that have the appetite for, I'm just going to keep learning all this stuff. I mean, I'm an old dude in the game, but I just, I feel like it makes me feel young and excited and interested because there's so much to learn. And for anybody that they say, yeah, Sean, I love that too. Like I'm getting older too, but when I learn new stuff, it really energizes me. Man, jump in with this type of stuff. It's
for sure. For sure. Well, as we wrap up our podcast here, just thanks again, Sean. I mean, again, every time we talk, I'm always inspired, and I'm always further thinking about the ideas that we exchange on these conversations that we have, not just on the recorded stuff, but you know, so the friendly conversations just about business and life in general. So always appreciate you coming on. Always appreciate the time that you spend with us. Why don't you give us any last parting words and tell people how they can get a hold of you afterwards?
Well, we just came off Thanksgiving, so hopefully everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'll wish everybody a happy holiday season, whichever ones you celebrate. I'm a Christmas guy. Love Christmas. It's awesome. I will say this too, for people that are listening, holidays are also a really hard time of year, like for different reasons, right? If you've lost family members and your family dynamics feel different. So I would just say, hey, lots of love, encouragement, and high fives, and, you know, all that, just good vibes and good energy around the holidays. You know, try to be the best person you can around this time of year, because there's so many insane people out there. And, if I can ever be of help to you, to your business, you can reach me at Sean, S-H-A-U-N, at HiredGunsAgency.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. So if you wanted to try to, you know, reach out to me through there. I am on Facebook. That's mostly personal stuff, so I don't really post a lot of businessy stuff, but you can find me there if you want to. You can go to HiredGunsAgency.com and kind of see what we do on B2B. Most importantly, just be a good person. I always try to tell people, be blessed and be focused. It will help you identify the people that, when you need to be in a foxhole, which ones you want to be in with.
That's a great point. Yeah. Who are you going to keep close to you when the shit hits the fan, as they say?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No matter what crisis might come in your life, it's really important that you don't have to think too hard of who you might need, you know. And we're human beings. We're built to be in relationship with people, you know, whether we like that or not. And it's not easy for all people, but it is important in this time of year. I always just think about it, because I see the both ends of the spectrum, people that clearly are just really struggling, have a hard time being nice to even themselves. And I think it's important to remember that. I think it's important to encourage our fellow, you know, humans to, you know, to try to be kind and considerate. It's just not enough of it. And if you can put your head on your pillow every night and say, you know what, I did the best I could. And some days we fail, some days we, you know, hit a home run, but that we keep trying, right? You know, every day is a brand new slate, right? And, you know, some people say, you know, mercy for whatever you need it for is new every morning, right? So if the previous day was just a really tough one and you're like, ah, man, it's tough, then you know what? Try to get a good night's sleep because you need it, and know that you start a brand new day fresh every single time, and do the most you can with it. That's all we're all trying to do every single day.
Well said, my friend. Well said. I think on that note, I'll just say I agree. And yeah, everybody be kind. And that does it for this episode. Again, thank you, Sean. And thank you for everybody that's listening. Again, we try to bring you value. We've got experts like Sean and many, many others that come on a weekly basis. And we try to peek behind the curtain a little bit and really gain some knowledge on some of these areas where maybe some of you guys listening say, you know what, maybe I didn't know. I'd like to maybe investigate that a little bit. We always make these people available for you. It's not always a product pitch, you know, as they say. We're trying to bring in some value to it that you would take from this episode and go, you know what, I think I learned something today that I can apply to my business back home. So we appreciate y'all listening. Make sure to like, follow, subscribe, or whatever your preferred platform is to follow this and the next episode that comes along. And on that note, happy holidays. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.